Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly. We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Griese! Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get in the game.
And good morning, this is Coach Chuck Griese, and we surely apologize for our technical problems this morning as we're setting this all up and got offline and had to get back online, but it is what it is, and today's show is going to be a bit different than normal shows, so we want to try to use all the time we have right now and try to spend it paying tribute to one of the greatest teachers, coaches, people. And I didn't even mention the tennis part of it, but of all time in our history, and definitely of people that I have met. And Coach Vic Braden passed away this week at age 85. And we're all saddened by it, but we all should be uplifted by it. And I want to start the program today, courtesy of the We Coach Tennis program, some wonderful interviews here of some of the people who loved him and were willing to speak for him.
Hi, JP. This is Ray Benton,
And I'm delighted to talk about Dick Braden, a very special guy. I had the pleasure and the opportunity to work with Vic and be his friend over most of the last 40 years. I first met him around 1973, and I was his business manager, and moved him from Rancho Bernardo, just north of San Diego, a little further north into a new real estate development called Coto de Casa. It was owned by the Disneyland people. And that's where he built his tennis college and did so many innovative things to further our sport. And I mean, what a unique blend of science and humor and, you know, really an expert communicator who, as I said, used two things we think of as being contradictory probably or not in the same breath, which is humor and science. Vic's life was devoted to making other people comfortable and making other people laugh and making other people learn. And ironically, you know, he never thought much about himself. You know, he would get up as early as it took to get on a plane and go help someone. And I worked with him in the early 70s, and then we were just friends for almost 20 years, and then we started a company together in the late 90s and called Vic Braden Ventures. And he would do whatever it took to get the word to people and really teach them something new. Totally selfless. You know, he was not the world's best businessman, as we all know, and in looking out for other people, he didn't look out for his own affairs, and he came to me, I think it was 99, and asked me if I'd help him again and, you know, get a business going. And one of my my biggest challenges was to get him to quit giving free advice until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning every night on the Internet to people when he wasn't charging for his advice and, you know, was running short of money. And that's just an example of how selfless he was. He had a great life, and you know, undoubtedly one of the most influential tennis academicians, tennis instructors of all time.
This is Chris Ralston, and just a few thoughts about the passing of Vic Braden. Who I first knew when I was a ball boy in Bakersfield. He used to drive, a lot of people don't know this, but he used to drive the truck for the Pro Tour, Kramer and Gonzalez, and travel all around the world and help set up the court and run the events. And I came to Bakersfield where I grew up, and when I was about 10, and that's where I first met Vic. Always had a smile on his face, a tireless worker. And then, of course, I knew him from Southern California when he started Coto de Casa and his tennis schools. And I talked to many people that went to his classes, and it was always, they had a great time. And he was very funny. And he's also an innovator with the high-speed cameras and his camera work. And Vic, I have a picture that Vic took. Of my daughter Angela and I at La Costa. We used to also do a lot of photography and that we still have, that was absolutely a treasure of mine. And he was just a great man. Everybody liked Vic. He was tireless in his efforts to promote the game, and sad that, but that happens, obviously. And so, you know, I want to recognize all the great things that he did and all the people's lives that he touched in a positive way.
Hi, everybody. This is Coach Wayne Bryan from Camarillo, California. And like the entire tennis world, I'm so saddened by the loss of Vic Braden yesterday.
Great.
We all know Vic was larger than life. He was an icon. he was known throughout the United States and really the world over. He was the people's tennis coach. He helped popularize the sport so much in the 70s and going forward. He had a heart as big as all outdoors. He was always so kind, so giving, so caring about the players and tennis causes and tennis itself. His heart was so big, and he had such a capacity to give that it finally gave out. I talked to Dennis Claus, a great tennis guy from Orange County, yesterday at length about Vic, and they honored Vic recently, and his health was failing then, and he came in a wheelchair, and Dennis said that he thought they were going to lose him that very night, but yet he battled on and spoke great, as he always does. Vic had a great, warm smile, always a twinkle in his eye, always a sparkle, that magnetic charisma. I think everybody in tennis has come across Vic at some time or other. You saw his videos, you saw him on TV, perhaps you took a clinic from him, perhaps you heard him speak at a coach's conference, perhaps you were fortunate enough to speak to him in person. And you were better because of it. We've never had a better coach's coach. He should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm so glad to see my friend Nick Bollettieri go in this year, but I've always felt that Vic should also be in the Hall of Fame, and maybe now he will be, who knows. But I think there were some great forces that propelled tennis forward in the 70s. We had the advent of open tennis, certainly. I think that's a huge factor for the growth of tennis. And also the Billie Jean King, Bobby Riggs match was huge for tennis. I think Arthur Ashe going to South Africa was huge for tennis and helping relations in South Africa, certainly. But I think Vic Braden's voice in his coaching and his very being was also so pivotal in the great growth of tennis in the 70s and giving us the great game that we have today on the international scene. I've known Vic, gosh, since I was 17 years old. He was up at the legendary Jack Kramer Club, and I was student body president of Hawthorne High, and I called him one day. I didn't know him at all. I was in awe of him. He was the coach's coach and the big coach in the sky, and such an important figure, and I was shaking when I called him, and I said, "Mr. Braden, this is Wayne Brown. I'm the student body president of Hawthorne High, about 30 miles from your beautiful Jack Kramer Club, and I want to put on a tennis assembly. Could you help me get some pros?" And he said, "Okay, kid, I'll get you 4 pros. You got a budget?" And I said, "Yes, we have a budget of $75 and he laughed and he said, "Okay." And he came with a few weeks later with 4 of the all-time greats: Barry McKay, Alex Almeida, Ron Holmberg, and Mike Davies. They did 3 one-hour assemblies, got a standing ovation. We taped down the lines in the gym, got a standing ovation after each assembly. Tennis has never been the same in Hawthorne after that. We taped down the lines, and Vic was the MC. I learned so much about being an MC from Vic that day, and the way he brought those 4 players for $75. And years later, when I would see Barry McKay out on the road, I'd always remind Barry that you came and played at Hawthorne High for $18. And he said, "Actually, I remember that." I'm not sure he remembered it or not, but we both shared a love for Vic. I think up in heaven today, Vic's running a clinic for the Angels, and they're smiling, they're laughing, and they're improving. He's helping St. Peter with his backhand, and he's going to go out to dinner tonight with his pals, Jack Kramer and Barry McKay. I love Vic Braden. I admire Vic Braden. He was always unbelievably nice to me. Anytime Mike and Bob won a big tournament in the juniors or at Stanford or on the pro tour, he would be the first guy to write an email. And he'd always say something to the effect that great to see nice guys win. You know, we'll never be able to replace Vic. He's one of a kind. But his life lessons and his love for the sport and how he treated everybody and how he cared about the game so much will certainly live on. My thoughts go out to Melody and his family right now and all those that loved him. But I think today or yesterday morning, tennis lost its uncle. Tennis lost its uncle. I just can't say enough good things about him personally and about all the things he did for the great game of tennis. May Vic Braden rest in peace.
And we've got some more coming up here in a few minutes. I did have the opportunity to get J.P. Weber on the show, though, here. I think he's online. Are you on the line, Coach? Coach Weber?
Yes, I am.
You are? Great, yeah. Great. I can't thank you enough, and I know that the people listening out there can't thank you enough for taking the time to call these people and these wonderful coaches, fantastic coaches, and get the quotes and the heartfelt words from people, you know, like Wayne Bryan and Dennis Ralston, and then of course Ray Benton there as well. But JP is fantastic. What do you take? What's the message you've been hearing more than anything about Coach Braden?
Well, thanks for having me on. One is, it's a pleasure of mine to do this. You know me, I want to try and honor these coaches. I think we need to do more here to honor people. And he was a person for me. Number one, the main thing that comes across in everybody you talk to, he was a kind and decent man. He was just a kind and decent person. And he came from a different era. And maybe that was I guess Tom Brokaw, where he wrote that book about, you know, the greatest generation. And I think he was right in there in that generation. He's about 85, so that puts him in there. And all those people from that generation, I can't say all of them, but many of them were good people. So Vic was a great person. He was very inquisitive. You know, one of the things that you and I have spoken about was Clarence Mabry's quote, where Clarence says the most important thing a tennis person can have is an inquisitive mind. A hunger of inquisitive mind. Well, his mind was so inquisitive. Look, we had thousands just people teaching poor technique and things of this nature all across the country for a long time there. Vic starts delving into it, and he set people straight. He showed that, for example, that they weren't really using the wrist when he looked at the film. And so not only was he a good speaker and a master of ceremonies and a guy that had a radio show or a television show or whatever, he also was a great fundamental coach. He studied enough. Now, everybody can slice it a lot of different ways, but he really studied it, and he had a pretty solid philosophy, and he wanted people to learn how to play tennis well, because he felt like if they learned it well, they'd have a lot more fun doing it.
You know, the thing that I've been struck more and more with, and I've always known this, and I'll talk a few minutes about my opportunities to meet him, to be on a couple panels or whatever with him, or to come same, you know, a couple times where I was there speaking as well. But the thing is that hits me more than anything, and over and over and over again, is that he was a teacher first, coach second, tennis person third. But the kindness, you know, was the big thing that strikes everyone. And he had his strength. They say your strengths are your weaknesses are your strengths. And yes, his strength, people could say, was a weakness, in that, you know, he didn't market many, many things by himself. He gave away, I mean, my golly, the amount of probably time and things that he gave away over his life, you know, are just monumental. But let's go back and talk about this Greatest Generation. You know, he, and again, he was a teenager, or he was, you know, probably 10 to 15 years old there, 11 to 15 years old during World War II. But he came up in the 30s. You know, in the 30s were the Depression years there. He grew up, you know, and had the, one of eight children. So, you know, the father pretty much, I think, let's see, I'll be able to look up here what he did. But the father was raised, you know, eight children. And so during the Depression, you know, he had to do without. Probably sports were an outlet, and sports were something you could go and gravitate to. And then, of course, right after the war, were fantastic years for this country, you know, in the 50s. In the 50s, things were taking off. People were able to go to college. There was the GI Bill. There was more money than before after the war. The war really stimulated the economy again after the Depression, and World War II stimulated the economy, whether or not it was a terrible, terrible thing. But the United States got on its feet quickly, and in the 50s were probably, I can remember as a child being young and remembering, we didn't have much, but everybody was optimistic. Everybody knew things were happening. Everybody knew that America was the greatest country in the world. JP, after that, of course, the 60s and 70s were his investment years, where he probably invested early, you know, the late 50s, early 60s were his investment years, where he probably thought long and hard about what he was going to do. I mean, he was an excellent athlete, only 5'6", but he played basketball, football, tennis. But he started figuring some things out and where he wanted to, you know, take his skill set and what he wanted to do. And, I mean, I'm just speculating on most of these, but, you know, he started the Kota Kaza was his big undergoing. He started that, I believe, in 71 or 72 in there, early 70s. Do you have the information on that? But the bottom line on the thing, it was sort of a laboratory for learning for biomechanics and everything like that. And I'll tell the story about that here in a few minutes. But again, this was the upbringing there of not having a lot and having to work for things, and then what he went through as a young man and seeing the war and then seeing the opportunities of the United States there in the 70s and the 50s and early 60s. You know, the hunger, again, the hunger of an inquisitive mind, the hunger to do things is what steps up to me the most. And, I mean, you see it this way too, correct? Or
I do. You know, I don't know enough about the Kota Kaza thing, and I see exactly what you're talking about. Some of this can be manifest in two programs that he did, and you, I'm sure, have great understanding of this with your mentorship programs. He started an ambassador program for kids in public schools where they would teach one another how to play tennis. And then he also had a medical ambassadors program where they worked to teach each other about diabetes. His mind just worked differently than what a lot of the way tennis works today, where, you know,
well, it always worked.
McDonald's, you know, food before McDonald's. My dad told me this. Food before McDonald's, you would go in and you would eat, and then you would pay. McDonald's came along, and the guy held his hand out. You paid, then you got the food. And Vic sort of was of the old school. He gave you all the great things, and then maybe if you paid him a little. Today and now, I don't know if it's, you know, it may be a little bit different, but he was generous to that. You know, he was probably like the old diner. You would go in, and they'd fix you a real great family-cooked meal and everything else, and then you ended up leaving a little bit, you know, at the end or something for the food. I suppose that kind of mentality doesn't coincide with today as much. I'm shocked. I'll be honest with you, I'm shocked sort of to learn. One other thing I suppose that came out of this, and you and I spoke about it, is that he worked and he was generous, and he was probably generous to a fault. Ray mentioned in his tribute there that he didn't do as well financially. But his mind was foremost on helping people. So he's sort of like a pope, or not a pope, but a priest. You know, he was a tennis priest.
Yeah, you know, I read a book some time back. It said, judge your life on your posterity is more important than much more than your prosperity. And, you know, we all would like to have both. Posterity, of course, is what you leave behind in the hearts of people. And prosperity, of course, is the marketing part of this. It's always the education versus the entertainment part of it. And, you know, of course.
Can I say one other thing? Everybody going forward now is going to reap a lot of benefit from what he did. In other words, he pioneered a lot of things in coaching and the way he did the film and things of that nature. So when you talk about posterity, he's got that in bushels.
We
are going to benefit from his work for many years to come.
I'd known about him for so many years, and I was young in my coaching career. I was in my early 30s, and I was able to go out and work for the Junior Davis Cup program. And we held a camp out in Cota de Cas out in California at his place. And, of course, one of the great, great benefits of doing the camp out there and the training camp, what we used to do, JP, is we took the top 36 junior players in the country, and we'd put them through a camp. I did this at Stanford 1 year, and then we did it Northern Cal, and then we did it in Cota de Cas with San Diego, actually, and then Cota de Cas. And I did the camp for 3 years. And with that, you would take the 36 top kids, and you'd go through training plus education plus it was really intense camp, and they would play off to make the Junior Davis Cup team. The last eight standing basically made the United States Junior Davis Cup team. One of the biggest things was that Vic out there had a Cota de Cas, his tennis school, and of course that was just so deeper than intriguing. It was just exciting for me as a young coach to walk around there and see what he was doing and some of the innovation, because it was true back in those days. I mean, there were some tennis teachings, tennis writings and things, but it wasn't like it is now. But everything was on the cutting edge. But I can still remember some of those talks he gave about deceleration to accelerate on different things. He was talking about a football kicker one time, you know, and he was talking about the strokes and how the acceleration happens and all these things. And for me as a young coach, this was all just mystifying. But the point I wanted to make was that he always empowered people around him to do things and to go off and become great people. And this is the thing that the coaches that end up coming from your tutelage are probably the, you shall be known for your fruit. Well, the fruit, his fruit are all the thousands of teachers that he sent out and all the information. So what you've said is exactly true. You said that we'll benefit for years and years and years from his work. But his biggest thing is how he would push people to get up and do things. And you could tell that he came from a background where he probably had to share, starting with the eight kids and plus being in team sports and all those things like that, you know. So where's our next Vic Bradens? Where's our next Vic Bradens at?
He left so much on the table with his, it'll be interesting. Everyone has to be a priest. The priests come around every once in a while. But he left a lot on the table for everybody else to have some. So you're right. It'll be the way everybody's got their hand out, they want theirs now. So it'll be interesting to see where that next one comes from. You're right.
I've always heard about, for years, the law of reciprocities. Have you ever heard of that law of reciprocities?
Yeah, from you. A lot.
Well, I heard it from years and years ago, James Dobson thing. He talked about whatever you give away, you get back tenfold, whether it's tithing or your good deeds or your teaching or whatever. And the posterity in our life has to come from that law of reciprocities of what we give to others, and then in the good Lord's time, in God's time, it will come back to us. But the hard thing about that is that we often want it in our time. You know, we want it in our time, and that's not the way it works. You know, it works in God's time. But the law of reciprocity is truly is that whatever you give to others, it comes back, you know, tenfold. We've got a few other callers on the line that want to talk, but I gotta get through the commercial, and we'll be right back here with American Tennis and our tribute to Vic Braden. Thanks, J.P. Weber, for all your collecting of this.
This is Coach J.P. Weber of the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. In my 30 years experience in coaching tennis, I've never seen a better tennis training situation for children than Coach Creasy's Total Tennis Training Camps. Chuck Creasy has coached them and trained them in every arena from juniors to collegiate to professional tennis, and over 15,000 children have improved their games at his summer tennis camps. Find out more at chuckcreasy.net. That's chuckcreasy.net.
Report on Vic Braden. I've known him and been an acquaintance of Vic's for all 50 years, I think. And I've been out there coaching, and he's been such a credit to the game. Just a fun, ingenious coach on tennis, and brought things to people that in a clever, classic, funny way, and made it fun for everybody. I've known a few people that have gone to clinics for him, and they all come back really enjoying the game with all his little clever innuendos about tennis. And he's just been one of the best coaches out there, and just a gentleman and a credit to tennis teachers and coaches and players forever.
So make the best of this lesson, don't ask why. It's not a question, but a lesson learned in time.
Hi, this is Brian Parrott. I had the privilege of knowing Vic Braden from when I was 16 years old, and he was the head pro at the Jack Kramer Club on Palos Verdes. And Mrs. Austin, Tracy's mom, was the pro shop director, and Del Little was the stringer. Now, I met Vic then. I went up to Seattle University and then went to Oregon. And when I was running the first Davis Cup, it was against Australia, Vic was doing ESPN commentary on sidelines. And we had a dinner, which was to celebrate the rivalry between Australia and the United States. And I asked Vic if he would MC. And he was perfect, because we had 450 people. And Vic, when the dinner, everybody had been served, Vic said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get underway with this debate. Which country is better, Australia or the United States?" And we had an amazing dais on the American side. It was Billy Talbert, Tony Trabert, Vic Satius, Judge Kelleher, who was the president when we went open tennis in 68, Donald Dell, Arthur Ashe, Barry McKay, Tom Gorman. And so they were representing 12 matches between the two countries. Vic then said to the audience, he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to instruct everybody on the dais. You have 3 minutes, gentlemen, to explain why you won or why you lost." And he said to the audience, he said, "You'll be amazed, ladies and gentlemen, at the crystal clear recall of the winners and the foggy recollection of the losers. Let's get underway." And so it started, and it was a beautiful night of recollections of the rivalry between Australia and the U.S. And Vic was perfect for that, and it was a beautiful night. It included a moment where Arthur Ashe actually broke down in tears thinking about the rivalry between the two countries. And every time I saw Vic, he said, "The only crime committed that night, it wasn't videotaped, because it was such a great night." I love Vic Braden for his positive attitude about everything and his contributions to the game. So Vic Braden was an apostle of the game, and he'll be nominated for the American Tennis Hall of Fame.
Unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you have the time of your life.
And we've got some callers as well. This is a day to pay tribute and to talk about Vic Braden and just some of the experiences people close to him have had. I've got a caller here online, I think 828-266. Dr. Mike Kernodle, and up in North Carolina. And Mike, thanks for calling in. I know you've got a busy class schedule all day long. You are one of those guys we've been talking about, ultimately a teacher first, you know, a coach, probably second tennis person has been your life. But talk about Vic Braden a little bit and just some of your experiences or the impacting things that he's done for you.
Well, I met first time I met Vic was at the University of Illinois. Dr. Jack Groppel had set up a conference called the Effective Teaching of Racket Sports, and he was able to use his background and contacts to bring in fantastic speakers. And Vic was one of the first ones that came in, and you immediately saw this effervescent personality, this guy that was always, thinking ahead. What's the next step? How do I make things better? How can I be a better teacher? How can I affect people's lives and, make them love the game? And so I had a real United States friend over the years, and, I would see him at the USPTA conferences and the PTR conferences, and then I was on the sports science committee for the USTA for 6 years, and Vic was on there a couple of times. And I just loved the time. We had all these workshops and everything, but we had time in between for meals and afterwards. And I treasure those moments with Vic because I would just sit there and pick his brain. And the guy literally could tell tennis stories for, 10 years. And never used the same one twice. He was there from the beginning, and he was this kind, gentle soul. And I was getting worried about him at the end because I felt like he was, the financial difficulties that people have talked about, and I felt like he was kind of being exploited, and they were making him work way too hard, and so I was really concerned about him, but. Man, I tell you, Vic was—he was a one-of-a-kind guy.
You know, Mike, you were your background, a PhD in kinesiology, sports science, and those of your writings are well known as well in the tennis world. But he was maybe one of the first to do what he was doing, right, and taking a scientific approach. And it's really interesting because he had a scientific approach the way he approached everything, but he really had a sanguine personality. I mean, he was so detailed with his studying, and that's unique for a person to have both those ends. But was he the first, and did he influence you in some ways to do some of the things you've done?
Yeah, Vic was, he was always, like I said, he was always looking for that next step that could make tennis better, that could make him a better teacher, that could allow him to understand the game at a deeper level. But, Chuck, one of the things that I always appreciated about Vic was, he really delved into he dug deep about how to teach tennis. But on the court, the guy was a magician. He was... he could be serious, but he could be hysterical. I was at a number of conferences where he presented, and he'd have all kinds of little tricks that he would pull out that nobody else would think about. He was way up on technology. I remember I was at Ferris State one year, and he was giving the keynote talk, and it was right when, cell phones were just starting to come around, and he had set it up so that his cell phone would ring at a very specific time during the talk. he answered the phone and, went on a diatribe about these daggone technology innovations and blah, cracked everybody up. Opened up the whole talk. And he had them. As soon as he did that, the whole group, and this was a tennis teacher's school, he had everybody in the palm of his hand from there on out. He was always looking for that next really cool thing to do.
That's such a rare thing to be that detailed, that scientific with what you do, but then be able to control an audience. We got another call here. I'm going to see if we have area code 607-279. Can you come on and talk about Vic Braden this morning, your thoughts? Area code 607.
Hey, Chuck. David Getz calling.
David.
I never had the opportunity to meet Vic, but I heard so many great things about him, and I wish I would have had the opportunity, so it's great to be on your show and hear some Vic stories.
Well, you've got some great people here. J.P. Weber's on the line, Dr. Mike Kernodle, and we have some other people holding. But your impressions, though, about things, this is different than, you know, when people usually pass away, you go, you know, while it's sad and everything, but it's sort of, for me, David, it's sort of like you're in awe. You're saying, you know, the posterity of his life, we're talking about, is way bigger than probably the prosperity of his life. And a life well spent would probably be, a fantastic way for him to be talked about as well, for everything that he's given. Any thoughts about, being the teacher you are and the impact Vic Braden's had?
Oh, Vic Braden's had a huge impact. As I think I've read several of his books, I've watched several of his tapes, and although I never got to meet him in person, like I said, Vic Braden had a huge impact on my teaching. And just to repeat what everybody else said, I think he was the first guy that really brings science into tennis. It wasn't guesswork. He had the high-speed photography and the camera work, and he really made it. He made it a science. He was talking about ball revolutions per minute a long time before anybody else was. So, I just wish I would have had the opportunity to meet him, Chuck.
Yeah, the big thing that we've been talking about, and the other two guys jump in as well, if you can. But the biggest thing, people remember him for the laugh and win, the fun things, and those kind of. He was great in front of a crowd, but he was an educator. He was an educator first, and he was also an entertainer. They put him together. But I think in his heart of hearts, he was always sort of looking to empower people. You guys feel that way too? JP, any thoughts?
Oh, most definitely. When Mike Kernodle mentioned, he was trying to figure out a better way, and I think Mike meant it the way he wanted to. But Vic was about him making it so other people could be better teachers and other people could learn from them. Because he shared everything. He shared it. The books, all the other stuff. He'd call you. My story real quick, and I'm Norman Nobody in the tennis world. I go out there and I run into him and meet him and talk to him. He treated me like a king. And then later I would write him because I was concerned about some stuff that people were perceiving in the way strokes were being hit. And he spent all the time in the world. And then the last thing, he had a big campaign he was going on about the lightness of rackets. He wanted to reverse that sort of lightness thing. And so he worked hard to do that. But he wrote me, you could write Vic Braden and he'd answer you back and talk to you. I'd get answers like in Ray Benton's day. I might have been one of those guys Ray Benton was trying to protect me from, because he answered me back at 2 a.m. in the email, in a detailed email. So very much about helping other people learn to teach better, improving coaching, teaching all around.
Where are the next Vic Braden's at, guys? Where's the next Vic Braden's at? Mike?
Wow, that's a tough one. I mean, to have that kind of combination, like I said before, I think Vic was kind of one of a kind, and I'm not sure that we'll ever see his like again, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, it really is. Where is the learning going to take place from it? We have these systems and programs, and you guys know how much anybody listens to the show knows how much I'm against top-down management. I'm for free enterprise and for people like Vic Braden to have a chance to come out of the woodwork and out of the grassroots, as they say. I don't think they're ever manufactured. I don't think they could be manufactured. Dave, any thoughts there? Where are the great teachers are at now?
You know who I was really impressed by? I was impressed by it's what JP said about getting Mr. Braden on the phone and him talking to you. I called, I think, the next maybe great Vic Braden, I would say Mr. Wayne Bryan. I called that guy a couple years ago, and I said, you produce the greatest doubles team in the world. I need some help with my college doubles. Can you tell me some of the drills you did, some of the things you thought were most impactful for training that developed the Bryan brothers? And the guy spent an hour with me on the phone, an hour, and he didn't know me at all. And I thought, you know what, that's the kind of guy that could be our Vic Braden. He's got passion. He's an entertainer, and he was really extremely generous with his time.
We've got about 7 or 8 minutes here, but I do want to read what Wayne Bryan said. You're exactly right. Wayne Bryan is a kind and decent man, but the point is, it's like everybody has their strengths or weaknesses, but the point is he always gives to other people. And that law of reciprocity is something we all could do well about thinking about. Whatever you give away, you will get back tenfold. And it's probably the most critical thing that he and Vic Braden has. But I agree with you. He talks about Vic Braden here. He talks about coming up, and he said, this is just so critical. And he was tearing up when he was talking about this, but he said he was 17 years old. Dave, I don't know if you heard that from his talk. He was 17 years old, and he was the president of student body at Hawthorne High School. He said he showed up, and he asked Vic Braden to call him and said, hey, listen, we're having an assembly here, we'd sure like to have you help out and get some pros in here to talk. And he asked how much the budget was, and Wayne Bryan said $75. And so on the day of the assembly, he said that everybody showed up, and he brings in Barry McKay, Alex Almeida, Ron Holmberg, and Mike Davies come in and do this clinic. And, you have to laugh. I can remember one time in the early days of coaching, you don't know what you're going to get into, but I remember a good friend, Andy Johnston, and I went out to a church out in the country and did a clinic for ladies. We worked like dogs all day and put on this thing, and afterwards a lady brought us up a jar of chicken salad, and she said, I want you all to have this chicken salad. This is one of our favorites here. We serve it at our church dinners. And Andy looked at me and I looked at him, and he just said, well, that's the way it is sometimes with tennis. But, it's hilarious to hear that and to think about that. And, we all know as coaches, we really don't get, it's not about things you get, and you better be able to enjoy the people work that you do with others. And J.P. Weber, we've only got a few minutes here, but I wanted to thank you so much for putting together these tapes and these tributes. We'll be able to keep them on computer for a long, long time and play them back. But I think all of us, anybody listening out there, should go ahead and think about that, is that not only was he one of the greatest teachers in the world, he was one of the greatest students in the world, he's one of the greatest innovators in tennis, but definitely a servant of to other people. And the law of posterity, his posterity will definitely go on for years and years and years and years. The prosperity sort of, you can't take it with you. J.P. Weber, any quick thoughts here before we close? We got a few minutes left.
Well, a lot of tributes to Vic over the web. A lot of stuff, calls, people going back and forth. If you had to have a Mount Rushmore, as Don Patrine put it out there, if you had to have a Mount Rushmore, Vic would be one of the guys on my Mount Rushmore of tennis. So,
yeah, Dave Getz.
No, thanks for having me on, Chuck.
Dave Getz, thank you for your work. And listen, I'm going to throw this out there. I think of your career often. After in Minnesota, you had a thing where you were making lots and lots and lots and lots of money. And you were telling me, wow, this was crazy. I won't tell everybody where you went and how you did this. You went to Asia. And you said, Chuck, I just basically didn't feel like my work was as impacting as it needed to be. We're making this money and stuff. It's pretty cool, but I had to get back into coaching. So thank you for getting back into coaching, man. It's, being a teacher, you think about those things like to serve with love, goodbye, Mr. Chips, Mr. Holland's Opus, and all those things. And But thanks both of you guys for what you've done in coaching.
Thank you, Chuck.
Okay. All right, guys, that's about it for now. Let's put this one in the bank, and maybe we'll listen to it in years to come here. And we ought to be when people die, it's a celebration, you know, because they are close to God and they know that. And Vic often talked about, he referenced God and things, and so I know that he's up there smiling down on us, and the good Lord is waiting for all of us. So everybody make sure that we do those things and try to teach. We teach for eternity. We receive benefits just for now. Okay, you know, God bless you guys, and we'll talk real soon.
Made in America. Semper Fi tattooed on his left arm. Spent a little more in the store for a tag in the back of his USA. Won't buy nothing that he can't fix. With WD-40 and a Craftsman wrench, he ain't visitors. He's just made in America.
Process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with a win or a loss. And it was a great win for all of us to have the life of Coach Vic Braden, and more than all of the things he taught about tennis, what he taught us about teaching, and it just taught us about kindness and the giving to others, and the law of reciprocities, and those things that he had that nobody really would ever sell. It's not the things that you have your money could buy, but it's having those things that you would never sell. And he was an extremely rich man, and we were all much richer than we could have ever been to have known him and to know of him. God bless each and every one of you, and keep giving to that person right in front of you.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.